You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I want to start off just by saying Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. If you're in the United States, or if you're not in the United States, you should go ahead and celebrate Thanksgiving, because there is so much to be thankful for this year. I just know myself, there's a lot of amazing things, this past year, the birth of my child, my son, being healthy, being to see all the things we've done with our political movement and how things have grown in just 1 year, how so many more people have been coming on board, the advances we've made both in Europe and the United States and around the world. There's so much to be thankful for. It's absolutely out of control, both personally and professionally. So I want everyone just to take a few moments to be thankful and really think on this over this past year. There's been so much winning, you know, we're all kind of getting tired of winning. Need a little break for the winter, but take the time to think on what you're thankful for, and really appreciate these things, because it's so important for us to be able to take these moments of reflection and then really channel that. It helps us better appreciate everything that we have, and there's so much to be thankful for that we've been having. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and joining me today is Sven Longshank. Sven, I know it's not your tradition, but happy Thanksgiving to you. How are you doing?
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, and happy Thanksgiving Day to all our listeners. Yeah, there's always things to be thankful for. I mean, just be thankful that you can walk. Just be thankful you've got a healthy body. You know, just be thankful that you have a roof over your head, that you've got clothing, that we've got warmth. You know, I mean, we may complain about the way things are with multiculturalism, but we're still a lot better off, I think, than we were hundreds of years ago. You know, before we had antibiotics, before we had running water, hot water on tap. You know, all these things that we sort of take for granted, I'm thankful for. So much as we do point out the problems that we've got, I think it is important that people remember the things that we should be thankful for, and that we are very lucky that our ancestors provided all these things for us. And this is the thing, we want to protect it so that our descendants have the same things that we've been given, that they're given the same start in life that we've been given. That's why we don't want it all frittered away on these other races that are not able to really make the best use of it anyway, due to their low IQs. But to get to what I really wanted to talk about today, listeners will probably remember when Joe Cox was murdered, the MP, the Labour Party MP, and she was murdered at the start, well, almost near the end of the Brexit campaign. And the guy that actually shot her, I think he shot her, and there was a knife involved as well. And apparently he shouted Britain first when he did this, so that the media went into overdrive. They all said that he was far right, white supremacist, and that he must have done this because she wanted to remain in the EU. Well, he's had his court case this week. He's been given a life sentence, but there's been some very strange things that have gone on during this court case. He didn't plead guilty or not guilty. He didn't say a word. He asked if he could speak at the end, and the judge said that he couldn't speak. The media have said that he's a white supremacist, he's far right, and yet when they're going through his videos to prove that he's a neo-Nazi, I mean, his DVDs, he's got Nazis, A Warning from History, Auschwitz, The Nazis and the Final Solution, and Schindler's List. I mean, these are the sort of books that you would see, or films rather, that you would see in anyone who was just interested in war, basically. Not someone that was into white nationalism at all. And they've got this tenuous link that's been provided by the SPLC, I believe it is, that said that they have a receipt from him ordering a book 25 years ago from the National Alliance. Not a particularly exciting book, but why would they have that receipt in the first place? And why would that be used as evidence to show that he was a white supremacist? He doesn't look like he was a white supremacist to me. And they've said that this was a political killing, it was a political statement, it was terrorism on the part of the far right. But surely if it was terrorism, he would have made it clear the reason why he was doing this. Because he's basically killed her, and then he's given the authorities the ability to define what it was that he killed her for. You know, they've said he killed her because she wanted to remain in the EU, which just sounds like nonsense to me. And the first speech that she gave in the Houses of Parliament, we spoke about this last time, Matt, the first speech that she actually gave, she said that diversity was wonderful and it had really enriched our communities. And don't forget, the community that she lives in had 1,400 white girls raped by Muslims. So her saying that the Muslims had enriched our community and they were absolutely fantastic, this is really, really insulting. It must have been incredibly insulting to white people that live in that community to hear her bigging up these Muslims when it's within months of this report being released showing that they had raped 1,400 white girls. Now, that made me furious seeing that on the television, but there's been no mention of that in the media. The media have just said, oh, well, he killed her because she wanted to stay in the EU. So surely if he did this, it was a political killing, you would think that he would make a point of stating the reason for it and what politically he was hoping to do. Because what is the point in killing someone? You know, he obviously, if this was a political killing, he killed her in order to instill fear in these other MPs. If you're going to want to instill fear in these other MPs, you have to tell them what it is they shouldn't be doing. And he didn't do that. He didn't tell, he didn't say what it was that had made him kill her. He said, when he was in court, he said, he got asked what his name is. And he said, freedom for Britain, death to traitors. But he didn't actually say what a treason was. So it just seems really, really suspicious to me. It makes me wonder whether he had a mental breakdown and didn't want to claim that he was mentally damaged in some way in case they locked him up for life. Maybe he didn't say anything because he thought, well, I'm quite sane, and if they give me a prison sentence, I'll be able to get out. Because if they had said that he was mad, he may never get out of prison. There's just lots and lots of questions about this, and it's come out today that he's been living in a council house, which is provided by the state, and he'd been living in there ever since he was a baby boy, with his grandmother, and then with his parents, and then his grandmother died, and he'd been living there all this time, and the council had said that he needed to move out, because the council wanted to move a foreign family in. Now, that could have made him very, very upset. And he was advised that he should go to his MP and ask his MP for help. But he didn't actually go. He didn't ask her for help. I mean, you could understand it if he'd gone and said, can you help me? You're my MP. And if she'd said, oh, you don't need the house. It's far better that we give it to a family of Pakistanis or a family of Syrians. But that didn't actually happen. So it is just really, really suspicious. And the most suspicious thing is that he's basically handed it over to the media to define why he did it and then point at the bad guys. Because the media is basically saying, this is the far right. This is the far right extremists that have done this. We need to clamp down on nationalism. We need to clamp down on white nationalism. We need to be treating the nationalist groups and parties the same as we treat the Islamic terrorists, because now we've got white nationalist terrorists. So he's basically given the authorities, the enemy, it's given them a great big gift, basically, saying, you can define whoever you want as being behind this, and then you can go out and attack them, which really doesn't make any sense to me, Matt. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. And then you've got people that are saying, well, could he have been a patsy? Because this was right at the end of the Brexit campaign. And did they think that if they linked this with Brexit, that people would say, oh, no, we can't possibly vote for Brexit. The sort of people that wanted the Brexiteers are the sort of people that kill MPs. But that isn't what happened. Because we voted to leave the EU. If anything, it encouraged people to leave the EU all the more. So there's so many questions about this. It's got to be the most bizarre so-called political killing that I've heard of. And just the links to show that he was supposedly a white nationalist, they are so tenuous. I'm very surprised that if the jury actually found him guilty, because if the jury had actually known anything about nationalism, known anything about the war even, they would have said, well, hang on a minute, are you sure this guy is a neo-Nazi? Are you sure he's a white supremacist? You know, just because he's got Schindler's List and Nazis a warning from history doesn't show that he's a nationalist. I mean, what that shows is that he believed the Hollywood stereotype of the National Socialists, and that they gassed all these Jews at Auschwitz. And they did find a couple of those American booklets, like SS, that supposedly came from the SS and that were translated into English. You know, they're sort of 30-page booklets. I think they found a couple of them. But they were probably what he ordered 25 years ago from the National Alliance. Just seems to me that he's been convicted of murder, and they've said that it was political, but there's no real evidence to show that it was political. It's just a huge question mark over the whole case, Matt. I don't know if you've heard about this at all over there in America, whether it's been on your news over there, or what your thoughts are on this. So I'll pass it over to you.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's a very weird situation, to say the least. I mean, with this, the idea that you wouldn't use the opportunity to defend yourself is kind of crazy. I mean, just look at Nuremberg or things like that, where, you know, the German high command used it as an opportunity to absolutely tear into the fake allegations against them. And then, you know, being able to really try and set things right. If you've got this opportunity, of course, first of all, don't go and shoot MPs. First of all, don't go commit illegal acts. You know, we have to be a legal, peaceful movement. But in this case, the idea of not using the opportunity, you know, whether it's space aliens or you're a nationalist or whatever it was, you really should use an opportunity to be able to tell people why you did what you did, to be able to help you, help people understand and be able to get your perspective out there. I mean, first of all, don't do this, but, you know, the idea that this guy isn't talking about why he did this, I mean, it's very hollow-eyed and the sort of weird way looking at what's going on with Dylann Roof. Of course, Dylann Roof did the shooting in South Carolina two years ago, I guess, or last year. I don't know. It all just blends together. You know, he's allegedly the murderer of nine folks in that church in South Carolina. And he hasn't really said anything. Now he's actually having competency hearings to see if he can even stand trial, because everyone's basically saying this dude is off his rocker, and you know, he was addicted to SSRI drugs, these drugs they hand out like candy, especially to young white youth here in the United States, that changes your brain chemistry, can make you suicidal, can make you homicidal, really messes things up, can make you more depressed. These drugs are absolutely garbage. They're absolutely dangerous for you. We've got an entire generation of young whites who are addicted to them because they're prescribed to say that, you know, these problems that you have are going to be fixed by these drugs. The drugs only make your problems worse and can even make you homicidal or suicidal. It's absolutely insane that we're prescribing these things by the millions to our youth here. But, you know, I think it's a very clear example based on they've now gone into 2 days of competency hearings for Dylann Roof that he's not competent to stand trial. He is not in control of who he is. This is a guy that went through a psychotic break, because you have to think, even semi-rationally, even just trying to be rational for a second, the idea that why would you, as a white nationalist, go and kill innocent black church ladies? I mean, just the very idea, if you're going to absolutely lose it, which again, don't do that, but the idea that your target would be church ladies at a Bible study makes absolutely zero sense politically, tactically, or anything like that. That to me speaks of a mentally ill individual, absolutely mentally ill individual. And this is a tragedy not only with the families that lost their family members that night. You know, the Dylann Roof's family that's lost their son. You know, and this kid is sick and needs help and needed help years ago. But it's too late, because the system teaches him to hate himself, teaches you that whites are on the way out, and that's a good thing, and pumps them full of drugs that make them homicidal or suicidal. It's absolutely a perfect storm, and it led to this tragedy. So the reason I'm bringing up Dylann Roof is in this example of what's going on, you know, in the UK with the murder of Joe Cox, that it seems to me that so many of these elements are very similar, these two shootings. Not using the opportunity to defend yourself, possibly being mentally ill, having very bizarre possessions at home that don't speak to a real dedication to nationalism, and the state already deciding the verdict and deciding the narrative before before they're even in court, you know, which I think is a disservice just to the pursuit of justice. You should be able to really be discussing about what drove someone to do this to better understand and better prevent tragedies like this. You know, so I think it's very similar in a certain aspect. And to me, I think both these cases just scream mental illness, just scream that these guys were mentally ill and did horrific things that shouldn't have been done. But this is a mental illness problem, definitely not a white nationalist problem.
Well, I think you could be right there, because apparently it's Thomas Mayer. He had some kind of depression, and he was given some medication for that. And some of the side effects of the depression medication, I mean, they do say feelings of suicidal, outbursts of violence, I think it says on some of the side effects. So it could have been something like that. And again, like what happened there with Dylan Roof, straight away the media jumped on that and turned it to their advantage and said, oh, because he's wearing a Confederate battle flag t-shirt, or he was holding up a Confederate battle flag, we need to get rid of the flag. And they clamped down on the flag, didn't they? And then extended that to trying to get rid of the monuments. And even as far as digging up the bodies of white heroes of the South. I mean, they even took it that far. And we see a similar thing happening here, where they're saying, well, this is white nationalism. We have to clamp down on these nationalist groups. And I've lost count of the amount of articles that have now been written saying that that white nationalism is a bigger threat than Islamic terrorism now, and that there are more referrals to this Prevent organization of kids that are supposedly getting into nationalism that need to be de-radicalized, and they are actually getting reports of Muslims to them. But then we know that the actual Prevent organization is very, very slack on who it will actually take. I mean, they've had referrals because of young lads that have supported UKIP, you know, but kids at school that have said, well, I support UKIP, and they've been sent to this Prevent, which is supposed to be about Islamic terrorists. I mean, we've never had, as far as I know, we've never had a nationalist carry out anything like this in the last, well, since the millennium, really. I know there was a nail bomb that might have gone off before then, and we had Combat 18 in the 90s. But again, the state was probably involved with Combat 18. Just seems very suspicious that this has happened, and they've jumped on it straight away and are using it to clamp down on nationalism when there was such a tenuous link with it. I don't think anybody from any groups like British National Party, National Front, the London Forum Network, nobody knew this guy. He wasn't a member of any of these organizations. He said Britain First, but he certainly wasn't anything to do with the anti-Muslim organization Britain First. And the state is using this to call for, you know, more intelligence basically on nationalist groups. And in some of the articles, I've seen them linking it up to this Zach Davies, who last year, I think he went into a supermarket and just attacked someone Chinese. And he was completely mad. And in the days leading up to that, he'd been telling people he was a Muslim and he had an ISIS flag. But before he decided to turn into a Muslim and start waving an ISIS flag around, he was waving a National Action flag around. And when that first happened, the media tried to link it with National Action. And then it came out in court, he was nothing whatsoever to do with National Action. And the media had just been slandering the group, basically. And yet, now that we've got this new news story with Thomas Mayer, I've seen a couple of articles that are referring back to this Zach, whatever his name is, that killed this Asian guy, and saying that he was to do with National Action. So they're trying to drop National Action's name in there, saying that they're an extremist group that are advocating violence. And of course, they're not advocating violence at all. No, none of our groups advocate violence, as you know so eloquently put there just earlier, Matt. You know, because all it does is it just gives ammunition to our enemies to clamp down on us, as we see here. As we saw after Dillon Roof in America, you had all this banning of the Confederate battle flag, the desecrating of the monuments, digging up of the heroes. And now over here, you've got all these calls for more intelligence on nationalist groups, banning nationalist groups, even. I mean, we were talking about yesterday about how Alison Chablis has been arrested just for singing a satirical song. Well, now that they're able to say, well, look, these nationalist groups are going out murdering politicians. You know, we have to stop this. This is a threat to democracy if they're going to be murdering politicians, regardless of the fact that he hasn't actually said why he did it. I mean, as far as I can see, this is a motiveless murder. And I think it probably is due to medication that he was on and a mental lapse. Because otherwise, you know, he would have used that soapbox, because he had that soapbox there. He had the courtroom there. Everything he said in that courtroom would have been relayed to the public. He could have said, you know, well, I killed her because I disagree with the treason that's going on, and you politicians have got to stop allowing all this other races into our country. He could have said that. At least then his action would have had a positive outcome from it. You know, maybe some of these MPs would have thought, well, hang on a minute, you know, I don't want to be killed. But he didn't. So it was an absolutely pointless murder, pretty much. Apart from what he said afterwards, Britain first, and in the courtroom, about death to traitors, it really hasn't achieved anything apart from causing us trouble. So, yeah, again, I'd like to reiterate, don't go out there and just do senseless violence, because you just make all the rest of us look bad. And if you look at what we've achieved this year, what we've got to be thankful for, we've got Donald Trump in office, and we've got Britain leaving the EU, and none of the, all of that was brought about without violence. I mean, violence was done to the Trump supporters in America, but we didn't get Donald Trump into office or leave the EU through killing any MPs. And Dylan Roof in America certainly didn't help our cause with what he did. I mean, again, it just makes us look bad. I think we've got far better ways that we can reach the public than going out in violence and killing MPs. I pass it back over to you, Matt, if you've got any comments you'd like to make on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just the biggest thing for everyone to remember, that our movement must remain a peaceful, legal, political movement, and there is nothing gained through acts of violence. I mean, we've seen that time and time again. Things like the militia movement, the white nationalist movement in the United States, was nearly crushed out after the Oklahoma City bombing in the early 1990s, and that did not help anything. And of course, Timothy McVeigh, who did those acts, you know, his final words were, when he was asked if he regretted anything, he said, "Only the children." And he didn't know that even going after a federal building, that there was a daycare on the second floor of the building that he blew up. He didn't even know. He thought he was going out. You know, everyone gets this very black and white mentality. You think you're going after the stormtroopers from Star Wars or something like that. And he killed kids. He didn't even mean to kill kids, but he killed kids. He killed husbands and fathers and mothers and wives. And, you know, it's the sort of thing that, looking at the movement, looking at history, that we need to stay a legal, peaceful political movement. So whenever you hear this rhetoric, you know, and I think pretty much everyone understands that. Almost everyone entirely understands that. I think you're probably more likely to find criminal activity at your local Rotary Club meeting or like a bird watching society than you are in white nationalism, because we're all so aware that illegal activity, or even, you know, loose lips sink ships, and this idea of even opening your mouth and making jokes about things can be used against us to get us sent to prison and things like that. So I think our movement is very, very, very conscious of the importance of legal action, and that's why it's so bizarre to me that every time someone goes off the rails and commits a violent act like this, no one knows who he is. He was never part of a group. And, you know, I mean, on one hand, that's suspicious, that's weird. But on the other, it kind of breaks my heart a little bit that, like, you know, Dillon Roof, that if he had found a group, and he said in his manifesto that he didn't see any organization happening and he wanted to fight back, that if he had found a group, you know, of course, we're talking about a kid with mental illness, we're talking about drug stuff, but if he had found a group to be a part of, to mentor him and push him away from that, and push him towards constructive action, towards better mental health, physical health, give him camaraderie, because he was a very lonely kid. I mean, he could have been saved. And then, of course, the lives that he took would still be with us. So for me, it's an important thing for us to always hit on. We need to remember this movement needs to be legal, peaceful, and political. You have no idea what you know. If you have a death wish, you want to go out with a bang or something like that. Like the guy that tried to shoot up the Holocaust Museum. He was an old man a couple years ago. Don't do it. Don't hurt your comrades. Don't hurt innocent people, even if they're on the other side of the political spectrum. It doesn't win anything. It actually hurts us. So if you actually care about the movement, don't do it. You know, don't commit any violent or illegal acts. It's pretty simple. But for those of us who are in the movement, it's so important for us to be able to mentor and care for and try and rehabilitate our generation of youth that are so down and are hooked on these drugs and things like that, to be able to help them and push them away from that sort of behavior, to get people involved, to be very warm and family-like. You know, remember, it's Thanksgiving. You know, treat our people like your family. And we can stop these things from happening, because if people feel like they have a home, they feel like they have someone who listens to them, they feel like they have an outlet, then they're far less likely to go off the rails. So that depends on us to be good stewards and to be our brother's keeper. So what I would just say, you know, with all that, to kind of bring all my thoughts together, is remember, legal, peaceful, political, you know, and work to be able to give people a home, so they don't feel this need to lash out. They understand they've got a responsibility to their comrades, to their people, to the movement, to not hurt us and to not bring, you know, all the issues that come with those sorts of things on us. So keep it legal, keep it peaceful, keep it political, and keep it friendly, keep it family. So back to you, Sven, but those are pretty much my final thoughts on the subject.
Well, I think it's important what you were saying there about the way that when people join these organizations, and you can steer them away from doing stupid things. You can channel that energy into doing something positive. And this Thomas Mayer, he seems like he was quite a nice guy. He used to do gardening for his neighbors. In fact, every one of his neighbors said that he was a really nice guy. He was really helpful. And he seemed like a typical nationalist type that helped these people, basically. Of course, the local Asian taxi drivers stuck the knife in and said, oh yeah, he used to use racial terms when he used our taxis, which I find really doubtful. I doubt whether he would get in a car with a packy driver and then insult the driver. You know, it's not really the sort of thing you would do. I should imagine he'd probably wait around to get a white driver if he was like that. But of course, they stuck the knife in. But the white people that lived around him said that he was a really nice guy. And if he had joined an organization, maybe he would have met up with other people that thought the same way. Maybe they could have explained to him, you know, that actually Hitler didn't gas all these Jews, you know, because he does appear to have believed that from looking at the DVDs that he had. I think this, so really, I mean, the government should be encouraging our organisations, because it's people that join the organisations that don't then turn out to be these loners that go out and do these crazy things. I mean, maybe if Dylan Roof had joined an organisation, he would have been helped. You know, if he'd have just commented a bit more on the sites. I think he commented once or twice and then just disappeared. You know, nobody had a chance to really talk to him and you know, try and get him to channel his energy into doing something positive. And the other side of it is, you know, our enemies, like the Muslims, the amount of stabbings, knifings, just that Pakistanis do anyway. Then you've got the terrorism that they're involved in. You've got Lee Rigby, who had he was beheaded on the London streets. You know, you've got the 7/7 bombing when the Muslims blew up the train. You've got all these hideously violent acts that Muslims and Pakistanis do, and yet we only have one act by a white man that does an act like that, and it's major news, and everyone becomes against nationalism because of it. People don't actually weigh up the likelihood of a Muslim committing a terrorist act and then weigh up the likelihood of a nationalist committing a terrorist act. I mean, it's thousands to one that a nationalist is going to do something like that, but it's probably only 100 to 1 that the Muslim is going to do something like that. But the media plays it as if it's something completely different. They'll big up the white person doing it and make out that nationalist groups are as big of a threat as Islamic groups. They make out that we are the terrorists, and they already are doing that. So we don't want that. We don't want to give them that chance that they can say that. We want to be, you know, we want to present a positive image. I think the group that presents the most positive image has to be the Nordic Resistance Movement. You look at them, you know, they look so neat. They look approachable. They look the total opposite of the Antifa. They don't look like the sort of people that are going to murder MPs, you know, or go out butchering blacks. They look like the sort of people that are going to protect white people, the sort of people that are going to go out and do charity work, which National Action are doing, going out and feeding the homeless. No, this is the image we want to portray, that we help our people out, not that we go out murdering MPs or murdering blacks. We want to come across as if we're the sort of people that people can come to if they need help, really. You know, that's the sort of image I think nationalists need, not the image of the loner going out and murdering MPs, but the image of the group that goes out and feeds the white homeless, you know, or provides positive role models for the youth or activities for youth to get involved in, you know, these camps that National Action put on, which you know, they're really good. They're really, really good for young people to be able to travel around the country and see what the British countryside is like and, you know, and learn survival skills, all that sort of thing. That's the sort of image that we want to be portraying, not, you know, the loner that goes out murdering people. So again, I am thankful that we do have positive nationalist groups like Nordic Resistance Movement, like National Action, like the London Forum Network. And you go to the London Forum, any of the forums, you're going to meet a great bunch of people. And I just remind people, Yorkshire Forum this weekend, check out the information for that. All the details for that are in the Daily Stormer forums, or check out yesterday's podcast for the details on that. And hopefully, I already know that two of our listeners are going to be there at the Yorkshire Forum. So hopefully we'll get a few more and we'll prevent any more lone wolf killings like this happening, Matt.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being here, Sven. And remember, everyone, be thankful, spend time with your family and your comrades, and keep it positive, keep it happy, keep it professional, keep it legal, keep it peaceful, and keep on trucking until victory. So, guys, thank you so much for listening in. I'll look forward to being back tomorrow. Thank you, Sven. And again, happy Thanksgiving, and hail victory!
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.